Father, I thank you for this word that we're about to receive tonight, Lord, as we get ready for this sermon. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless it to our life, Lord, that we would apply it, that we would be transformed through it, Father. And speak to me now, Lord, as we just gather together here to worship, to fellowship, and to receive instruction from you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to go back to chapter 17, but before we go on, I want to recap what we learned on Sunday in less than 2 minutes. We talked about this woman, and this woman, well, the message was titled A Dry Season. And what we talked about was what happens when relationships run dry. That was the direction that the Lord was showing me to go. So what we did was we talked about this woman who was going through a severe drought. There was no rain in the land, so when there was no rain, there was no crops, and when there's no crops, there was no way to produce any financial gain. So this woman was struggling. On top of that, she was a widow. So she was going through this dry season, and we talked about how symbolically a dry season in the Bible was a time that the Bible describes as sadness, as being empty, as being without, with lack, and pretty much with great need. So we talked about this woman who was going through a dry season in her life, and then we applied it to our lives by illustrating that many relationships and many of us go through dry seasons. And that there are times that things in your life are hopeless. There's times that things in your life are in lack and you're in need, and it doesn't feel like God is doing anything. And this woman got to this point that she was on the verge of preparing to die. She literally told Elijah, I'm gathering these sticks so I can cook some my last meal, and I'm just going to die. Which we established that when you're going through a dry season in your life, you get so discouraged that you don't think you're ever going to get out of it. You don't think that things are ever going to get better. But God surprised her, because not only did her life get better, but God was trying to reach this woman and show her that when she trusts in God, when she trusts in Him, that He could put a downpour in her life and bless her life. But before God could bless her, God had to test her. So that's what we talked about on Sunday. And the real test was her stepping outside of her needs, what she wanted, and God was testing her in the area of serving, where God was leading her to serve a meal to Elijah. Now, here's the problem. This was a very difficult thing to do. This was a very difficult task, but God was testing her in her area of giving. So we wrapped up this message last Sunday by teaching this principle that when you serve and when you give outside of yourself, that is the recipe, that is the clue, that is the key to getting out of your dry season. If anyone is going through discouragement, if anyone is going through depression, if anyone is going through sadness and need, the greatest thing you can do is serve. Because when you serve others, you take your mind off yourself. When you take your mind off yourself, God sets His mind on you. You guys get that? So when you serve, you step outside of yourself. When you step outside of yourself, God steps in for you. So when she decided to serve, that's when a miracle happened. And the Bible says she never ran out of oil. She never ran out until it would rain. So we ended it where God was literally teaching us and her that when you choose to serve and live a life of selflessness, God will pour into your life and bless you like you've never experienced before. Did I recap it all right? Did I miss anything? Now we're going to continue this story. Because as I read through the entire chapter, you would think that this woman experienced the greatest miracle in her life. And you would think that right there and then, like most people in the Bible, when they got healed, when they saw a miracle, when God did something amazing, they would just surrender right there on the spot. And they would say, Lord, you're God, you're the Savior of the world. And they would surrender their lives and be totally transformed. Like so many people in the Bible, when Jesus healed and did miracles, they instantly believed. So when I read this, I thought, man, now she's going to believe. Because one of the things we talked about was that she told Elijah that God was not her God. So she wasn't really a believer. She really wasn't a follower of God. So when I read this miracle, I thought, well, surely now this woman is going to serve God. Because God just stepped in a huge way. God provided for her. God poured this oil that never ran out. She was going through a recession, but she was the only one in the recession that was selling this oil, that was starting a business, that was feeding herself and others. So it was clear that God was blessing her. It was clear that God was performing these miracles in her life. But would you just be so surprised as I was to find out that even though God provided for her this amazing miracle, she didn't believe in him. I know what you're saying. David, are you kidding me right now? You mean to tell me this woman didn't right there and then believe in God? I wish I can say yes, but the truth is, she didn't. So let me ask you this question. How many of you know some pretty hard-headed people like her? That no matter what happens, they just don't want to come to church. They don't want to believe in God. They don't want to serve God. They're just so resistant to the gospel. You know, that can be very discouraging because you're trying to ask yourself, well, I don't understand why. But this woman was one of those people. She was stubborn. She was hard-headed. Her heart was so hard. And I wonder, why is it that this woman did not change? So tonight I want to preach to you the subject that I've titled, You Can't Handle It. You can't handle it. Why don't you say that to your neighbor right now, so make sure they're paying attention. Say, hey, you can't handle it. You can't handle it. Say it right back to them. Oh, you can't handle it either. You tell them. And now you tell yourself, I can't handle it. Have you ever told that to yourself because life was so crazy? Can I tell you that's probably one of the smartest things you can ever tell God? Lord, I can't handle it. Because there's some things in your life that God never asked you to handle. Gee, guys. Someone got it. Let me say that one more time. There are certain things in your life God never asked for you to handle. So we live life saying, I can't handle this. I can't handle them. I can't handle this problem. And I wonder if God looks down at us and he says, well, I never asked you to handle it. There are certain people you're trying to handle. There are certain people you want to change. There are certain situations you want to change. Certain problems you want to change. Certain things about yourself you want to change. But let me just tell you the truth. There are some things in life only God can do, and he never asked you to do it. Amen. Here's some wisdom. God does not need your help. What? He doesn't. So there are some things that God says, you can't handle them.
Well, I thought the Bible says, I can do all things through Jesus.
Well, there it is. It says through Jesus. Yes, you can do all things, but only those things that God tells you to do. And if God never told you to do it, guess what? It's not going to work. This is why I want to preach this message this evening. Because this woman got me mad. She got me mad. Because I started thinking, I said, does she go to Forward? Then, I mean, she reminds me of people that I've preached to in the past. And I'm thinking, man, God has been so good to you. God has protected you. God has given to you. God has provided. God has been so amazing. And yet, you're not serving Him. You don't want to come to church. You don't want to praise Him. You don't want to worship. You don't want to serve. And I'm thinking, and I got a little edgy when I read this, because I said, man, there's some people like this, God. And God was like, yeah. But you can't handle it. You know who must have been so mad? Guess. Anyone. Guess. Who said Elijah? You're right, Mom. Give it up for Mom. She's right. Elijah must have been furious. Because Elijah was like, God, you sent me to this woman. You used me to bless her. I mean, Elijah was staying with her, by the way. That's there. He stayed with her. So every day Elijah wakes up. Hey, guess what? The oil hasn't stopped. Every day that he woke up, I keep making more bread and more bread. Hey, Elijah, remember when I was complaining about having no bread? Well, I'm complaining about having too much bread. And in Elijah's heart, he must have been thinking, woman, are you out of your mind? Do you not understand that God is doing all this because He's trying to show Himself to you? But she didn't get it. And maybe you're frustrated because you're telling God, well, I don't understand why this person doesn't change. And after everything you did for them, God, and after everything I've done for them, and after everything they've gone through, they're just not changing, they're not serving you. But Elijah, he didn't get mad. I mean, at least the Bible doesn't say it. She was living a miracle. Every day, the oil was flowing. Because it didn't rain yet. And God promised, until it rains, this oil is going to keep flowing. So financially, she's blessed. And God is providing for her. Oh, but sometime later. So I want to tell you one thing. You may think you don't need God at the moment, but God has a way of reminding you that you need Him at all times. And the Bible says, well, I didn't even read the story yet. Let's go. 1 Kings 17:17. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. And she said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. And he took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on the bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy upon this widow that I'm staying with by causing her son to die? See, even Elijah didn't understand this. But he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord. Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry and the boy's life returned to him. And he lived. And Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, look, your son's alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now, this is what got me mad, by the way, now I know that you're a man of God, that the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth. And it was there that she started serving God. She said, now I know. What about before? What about your dry season? What about when God got you out of that mess? What about when you were on your way to die, collecting sticks? You literally collected sticks to prepare your last meal and die. What about that time the oil did not stop flowing? What about that time I supplied you supernaturally? But you know what? It did nothing. It did nothing. So this woman was financially blessed. But there's a problem. The Bible says sometime later, her son got ill. Got worse and worse and died. And I thought, well, what is God doing here? I'll explain in a little bit. But see, what this woman was experiencing is what a lot of us experience at church or in life in general. Have you ever heard the term partial victory? Anyone? Partial victory is when there's certain areas in your life you're good. There's certain areas in your life you have victory in. There's certain things in your life you don't struggle with. But then there are other areas in your life that you are weak in. There are other areas in your life you do have a problem with. There are other areas in your life that maybe you do have to change in. That's what partial victory looks like. And this woman had partial victory in her life now. Before, she had complete victory. Her son was fine. Her bills were paid. She was being provided for. Life was good. She was making money. Everything was great. But now that her son is dead, now she's experiencing partial victory. And a lot of us go through the seasons in our life where we're saying, well, Pastor, I feel like I have victory in my life, but it's not complete. There's certain areas in my life I still struggle with. And this is the reality of life. As a Christian, you're not going to have victory in every area of your life until you are in the presence of God in heaven or Christ returns. Every day of your life, there's going to be a certain area in your life you're going to need victory in because you're going to need God to supply it. So no one ever, are you ready for this one? No one ever has it all together. You're like, amen, that's me. But we go to church thinking, I'm fine. I'm good. We're okay. But no one's okay. No one is good. The Bible says not no one is good, not even one. So everyone here in church, every leader, pastor, person, whoever you are, partial victory is a way of life. And it's not to discourage you, but it's to remind you that every day of your life, there's an area where God needs to help you in. And none of it is going to be complete until you're with him in heaven. So she had this moment of partial victory. And that's so sad because it says, you know, I fixed a financial problem, but now I have a problem with my dead son. And a lot of us go through partial victories in our life. I mean, you might be good financially, but you feel like there's other areas in your life that are getting worse and worse, just like her son. You might be good financially, but your marriage is getting worse. Your kids are getting worse. Your family, your marriage might be fine. But then spiritually, things are getting worse. And you're struggling with sin. Your relationship with God is distant. But hey, my family is together. You might be fine spiritually, but getting worse physically. And there's a lot of great spiritual men and women in this life that have great victory in their spiritual life, but physically they're sick. And they have no victory there. There are people in your life that might be physically fine. They have victory there. I see you. I see your hair. I see you working out. I see everything physically. You're fine. You're healthy. But then emotionally, you're getting worse. So you might be looking great on the outside, but on the inside, you're going through depression. You're going through discouragement. You're going through bitterness. So there's an area in your life you're saying, Pastor, I know that in all these areas, I have some victory here, but there's certain areas in my life I know I need Jesus in. Can I get a witness tonight? That you're saying, well, Pastor, why can't I just have complete victory? Don't ever pray that. Because if God answers it, you're going to die. Literally. Because the Bible shows us that we're not complete until we're in the presence of heaven. How many of you want complete victory now? Good. The reason you don't have complete victory is because if you did, you wouldn't need Jesus. We have victory over death. Jesus did that. Amen. We have victory over Satan. He's going to lose in the end. We know that. But there are certain things in this natural life that we don't have victory in. Partial victory is only God saying, you need me every day. So we don't get discouraged in the areas that we have no victory in yet. We work towards it. We pray about it. And we don't say, well, I have no victory yet. Pastor said, that's okay. No, I didn't. But I'm saying that every area in your life that's experiencing partial victory is an area that God says, only I can handle it. So if it is financially speaking, maybe only God can provide for you. That's if you're a good steward of your money and you're faithfully tithing and being obedient financially, then you're still going through financial struggles, but you're doing your part. God's going to do His. Just wait. If you're saying, well, Pastor, I want God to just give me victory in my marriage. Well, you're doing your part because God says it in His Word. Wives, submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. Respect one another. Be kind, compassionate, and serve. If you're doing your part and it's still struggling, don't worry. God's going to come in and do that. You see, in every area of your life that you're handling a victory in, that's great. But every area in your life that you're struggling in is an area that God says, you need me. This is why this woman's child died. This is why God allowed this tragedy in her life. Because as long as that son stayed alive and the oil kept running, she was never going to see a need for God. Isn't that true? I heard someone, that's true. Yeah, it is. So guess what? Thank God that your life is not always good. Thank God that it's not always together. Because if it wasn't, it might be an area where God is saying, I just want to show myself to you. If everything in her life was fine, if everything in her life was perfect, she would never have seen God. So God allows tragedy to bring transformation. God allows things to die to get your attention. And I know what you were. I thought it was the devil. It's not always the devil. Sometimes it's God. When life gets worse and worse, I love what she says in verse 17. She says, what do you have against me? And it's so true what she says. I understand this. I'm not mad at her here at this point because I'm saying, you know what? I understand you. Because any humble person would admit tonight that when life gets worse and worse, it feels like God is against you. And it may feel like God is against you today. Because things in your life aren't working out. Things in your past has been pretty tragic. And you might be looking at your life saying, how can God be for me when everything is against me? So in her mindset, she thought that God was against her. But God was allowing this pain and allowing this tragedy because he was actually trying to draw near to her. So I asked myself, was God really against her? No. Because if he was, would he have blessed her the way he did? Of course not. The Bible says that God is for us. He's never against you. But don't get too hopeful yet. Because God may not be against her, but he was against her sin. He was against her way of living. When life gets worse and worse, God allows certain things to hurt you, certain tragedy that's painful, to teach you, not punish you. God doesn't punish because Jesus took all the punishment. But he corrects. He convicts. And we know that this woman's in sin because she said it herself, didn't she? She told Elijah, did you kill my son to remind me of my sin? Meaning, she knew about sin. How? Well, Elijah stayed with her. And in the context, it shows you that while Elijah stayed with her, Elijah would often tell her about her sin. There was something that she was doing that Elijah was saying, this is wrong. This is a sin. This is going to come back to bite you. But she kept on. She kept on. She never changed. With Elijah in the house and the oil flowing, you would think that this woman would get it, but she didn't. And this is what her sin was, if you're wondering. Based on the region that she lived in, we know that she was a pagan worshiper. And she worshiped a god named Baal. Here's an interesting part. Y'all want to learn tonight? How God has a sense of humor. Baal is a god that was believed to resurrect the dead. So God says, oh, you're not going to believe me. You're not going to trust me. You're not going to serve me. And you're going to live your life for this god. You're going to live for this Baal. You believe that he has the power to resurrect. Well, let's find out. And he killed her son. Because God was trying to show her, the thing you're after is not going to change your life. The thing you think you need, you don't. That thing you think is going to make you happy, it's not. See, all of us have a little Baal in our lives. I think that. See, Baal represents anything that we think is going to give us what God already gives us. And for some, you're looking for love, you're looking for security, you're looking for assurance, you're looking for comfort, but only God can give you those things.
But you keep trying to find it in relationships and money and pleasure and vacations and in this world. So God says, okay, you don't think you need me? Let's find out. And he begins to put you through a process of trials. So this woman, her son just dies. And as he dies, she's holding him. Lifeless. And she's probably thinking, why is God against me? You see, when life has struggles, think about your life right now. And things get worse. It's only an indication of two things. You know what those two things are? God is trying to show off in your life. That's how I call it. Everyone says, oh, give him, show his glory. But let me explain what glory really is. It's really God showing off his attributes. So sometimes God puts you in a place of need and struggle and hardship so that only he can be the one to deliver you, and only he gets the credit and the glory. So sometimes you may not be in sin. You may be living righteously. You may be on the right path, and stuff still happens. Why? Because God is only trying to show you who he is. Here's my point. Think about Moses. Why did God lead him and a million other people to the Red Sea, a dead end, to show off? Because listen, any ocean splitting up is God showing off just a little. But to show the people, I got you out of this. And no one else did. So God puts you in a position where you have no solution, no way out. So that when God gets you out, you can say, that was God. When Lazarus was sick and they said, hey, let's go now, there's time. Jesus said, no, let's wait for him to die. Why? Oh, because if I show up when he's sick and he gets better, someone might say it was a doctor. Someone might say it was just because it was a little fever. Someone might say it's because, you know, he needed to rest. But no one comes out of death. So when Lazarus dies and I resurrect him, no one's going to get the credit but me. Because even Jesus showed off. So maybe you're going through it today, and you're going through struggles, you're going through hardship. You might want to pray this prayer, Lord, show me what you're trying to show me. How many relate to this? See, you can know who God is, maybe because I preach to you, because you come to Forward, you go to Bible study, you do all of that. But the greatest way to know God is through experience. The greatest way to know God is through a trial. The greatest way to know God is through hardship, because when you get out of it, then you know who God really is. So God puts you in a position of need, so that he can supply it. That's what he did the first time with her. He put her in a position of being in a dry season so that when he provided for her, it would get her to see that he was God. Did it work? No. And some people are that dumb. Stubborn. I call them dumb. Because you know it's God. No. You know you need God. No, I don't. But remember when you got out of this and the Lord rescued you from this and that was a miracle? Yeah, but that wasn't God. I got myself out. I did that. I hate that. So does God. But he's patient. Thank God he's not us, right? So when God allows things to die and suffer, it's because he's trying to bring something to show you. And sometimes when God allows tragedy, it's because he's trying to change certain sinful patterns in you. Can I tell you that this woman had both? God was trying to show her who he was, and God was trying to change the sin in her life by allowing her son to die, because he knew that this woman was a worshiper of a God that was claimed to resurrect the dead. So God says, I want to prove to you that this is not what you need by letting your son die, and look, he's not changing you. He's not helping you. You need me. So I wonder tonight, how many things in your life could God be trying to show you, but you're too busy complaining about your problems, you're not seeing the greatness of God? That's a whole other sermon. I'm not going there. I wonder how many of you are going through what you're going through because God is trying to change something on the inside of you that doesn't honor him. That's another sermon. I'm going to preach that, but I'm not. You know why? Because remember in verse 12, she told Elijah, that's your God, that's not mine. God heard that. And God said, oh, I'm going to be your God. How many of you were this stubborn before Jesus? I know people at Forward. And this was you. Because I believe some people come to Jesus and they got a nice story about it. I had a good life, good childhood, went to church, got saved. Glory to God. Awesome. But then there are those people that say, man, I just said no to God for years. And I had to go through tragedy. I had to go through hurt. I had to go through loneliness. I had to go through pain. I had to go through rejection. I had to go through so much to then recognize my need for Jesus. And that was her. See, she was a type of woman or person that needed to hit rock bottom to find her rock. She was the type of woman that said, I need to hit rock bottom. I need to lose everything. I need to be in so much tragedy that then that's when I see my need for God. Some people get it. Some people don't. But guess what? Elijah could not change her. Every day of her life, as he stayed with her, that's a sin. That's a sin. That's wrong. You need God. You need God. When are you going to pray? When are you going to give your life to God? You know that oil is God. You know God is real. You know that's a miracle. Hey, that's a sin. No change. How many of you do that with some people? I know I do. Every day I'm like, you know that's wrong. You know you need to come to church. You know you need Jesus. Bro, I'm come to church. You know why you're going. Some of you ladies, I hear you, and you know why you're going through that. Because you're in sin. You know why that happened? Because you need Jesus. But some people don't get it. I feel like someone here needs to hear this. I don't know who. I'm not picking on you. But whoever it is you're trying to change that you've been telling and telling and telling, it's time to stop and let God handle it. Why? Because you can't handle it. So after a long time of Elijah saying, that's a sin, that's wrong, you need God, look at the miracles, are you blind, can you not see?
God said, listen, Elijah, I got this. This is the type of girl, Elijah, that you need to break first before you change her. Because the oil wasn't enough, the miracles weren't enough, what you're telling her is not enough. If you have a person in your life that doesn't change, you can't handle them, give them to God. He can change what you can't. So I'll close with this. She said, that's your God. It's not mine. Is your God against me? She kept saying every day to Elijah, I'm not serving God. I serve Baal. I meet people like that all the time. No, I'm not going to church because I do this. This is my religion. This is what I do. Well, how's it working out for you? Because things look pretty dead right now, girl. Your son is dead. And that Baal that you think is going to resurrect him, your son is still dead. So that's why God took her child away. Can I apply some hard truth to you, church? Verse 19. This is like straight from the Holy Spirit, because I never saw this, so I read it tonight. What if this is God telling you this tonight? And just replace the word son with whatever you're struggling with. Give me your fill in the blank. Maybe it is your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband. Elijah was the mouth of God. So it was like God telling her, hey, give me your son. Give it to me. Why? Because in your hands, it stays dead. In your hands, it's not going to change. In your hands, it's hopeless. Give it to me. You think she would, but remember, this is the most stubborn woman in the Old Testament. Give me your son. Elijah replied, and he what? Took, meaning what? She didn't give it. And some of you are that crazy or that stubborn that God says, give it to me. You're like, no. This is mine. And I'm going to change it. But you know why she didn't want to give it to him? She was holding it for Baal. And he was like, I love Elijah. It's like, what? He wrestled her. That's what in my head. He's like, give me that son! And they're fighting over a dead body. That's crazy. And the son's like, oh, whatever. But Elijah takes it. And here's what God revealed to me to reveal to you. God says, you either give it to me or I take it from you. What's it going to be? Okay, Lord, I'll give it to you. Can I tell you, when God takes things from you, it's because he's trying to make it better. When God takes something from you that hurts, when God took something from you you thought you'd be with forever, when God takes, the Bible says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. We love him when he gives, amen, church? Do we love him when he takes? No. But God said, listen, you either give it to me or I take it from you. Because in your hands, It's dead. So verse 20, Elijah, he takes it from her. So she's probably like, no, give me my son back, whatever. She's fighting him. Because you know women, they just, eh. And no, I'm just kidding. And he takes it from her and he runs to the room and locks the bedroom. So it's a weird fight. So Elijah runs to the room and lays him on the bed. But then he cried out to the Lord, 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 my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow that I'm staying with by causing her to die? You know what I love about Elijah? He shows us here that even great men of God question God. Is that not a question mark? How many questions do you have for God tonight? In reference to this word, tragedy. If there's anything that we question God with, it's tragedy. Why? I don't understand it. It makes no sense. Why would you put me through this? Even Elijah couldn't understand the death of her son. But God had a plan. So I want to tell you tonight, there are certain questions you may have. There may be certain doubts or certain things that you look back at and you say, God, it didn't make sense when you took that from me. It didn't make sense when you allowed me to go through that. I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to know He's your God. He's up to something good because He's not against you. You may not get it now, but you will. So God was like, Elijah, just trust me. And Elijah just prays. You know why? Because sometimes when life is so bad, all you got is prayer. Amen. Has life ever been so bad that the only thing you can do is what Elijah did, and he just cried to God? All you can do is cry and ask him why? But God says, I have a reason for taking what I took. But Elijah, you can't handle this. The Bible says that Elijah stretched himself. That word stretch literally means to raise your hands. The symbol of hand raising is always a sign of your dependence on God. Elijah was telling God through his hands, I can't handle this. Because it's pretty dead. But I took it from this woman, so you got to do something. Because I don't want to come back downstairs and say, hey, listen, maybe you should try Baal because he's dead. Verse 23 and 24, the Bible says, the Lord heard Elijah's cry. The boy's life returned to him and he lived. And Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house and he gave him to his mother. This is the amazing word that God has for you. First God takes, and then what does he do? He gives. See, whatever God has taken from you, He's getting ready to give you something better in return. So you might be saying, well, Pastor, it hurt when God took it. Be glad He took what He took, because it only means He's getting ready to give you something so much better. And He gave it to her. Oh, in verse 24, the woman said to Elijah, now... I know. That what you said was true. If it wasn't for her son dying, she would never have seen God. There's some people you gotta let God handle. There are some things in your life you need to let God handle. But Elijah teaches us tonight the power that comes through you letting God handle it. But God
is a God that says, you either give it to me or I take it from you. It's a lot better if you give it to God. Because as he took it from her, you better believe there was a struggle, there was a fight, because she wanted to give him to Baal. But there God showed her, do you believe me now? The oil wasn't enough. Getting through that dry season wasn't enough. What got her to a point to say, okay, now I know that he's God, was tragedy. The best prayer you can pray for someone you want to see change is, Lord, break them. I know it sounds messed up, but if some people won't change by word of mouth, they change through circumstances. There might be things in your life that God is convicting you of and saying, listen, you need to give this to me already, because I'm getting ready to take it. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for tonight's word. Father, you know the tragedies that we're in. You know the things we can't handle. You know the areas in our lives that we have no victory in. Many people came here to this church tonight, Lord. You know their hearts, and they're holding things that are dead. They're holding on to things that are hopeless. Maybe there's another group of people here, Lord, that you know their hearts, and they're running after the Baal instead of you. They're running after someone. They're running after a job. They're running after pleasure, something that they think is going to satisfy them with what you already can satisfy them with. Father, I pray for anyone here in this church that they will get this message to their hearts tonight, that only you can handle it. And whatever you need to take from us, Lord, take it. Whatever we haven't given to you, take it. Because we know that whatever you take, you're going to make better. So, Father, we now surrender what is dead, because we know that you are God. So in every tragedy in our lives, in any setback and struggle, any painful thing, Lord, that we may be like Elijah, questioning why and it makes no sense, we know tonight, Lord, that you work all things for good for those who love you, Lord. We may not understand it now, but we know that greater things are coming. So we surrender now to you whatever should have been in your arms a long time ago. Church, just give that to the Lord now, whatever he's impressing on you. Whoever it is, whatever it is, just say, Lord, I give you now, you fill in the blank. And you declare and confess to the Lord, as simple as this, Lord, take it, because I can't handle it. Father, thank you for this message. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Give God some praise tonight for that word tonight. Amen. Amen.